Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy to get to hang out with you today. And I'm especially excited to be sharing a three-part series that I know so many of you are going to love. This one is for the moms and dads. This is for parents. It is on a topic that I've heard so many of you asking me to cover, and that is youth sports, right? A topic so many of us love. Whether you just want to raise active, healthy kids, or you've got your eyes on a college scholarship or a professional career, whatever place you land in all that, I think that this topic is really important to all of us because I am so passionate about sports, about physical fitness. I think all of our kids should be active. I even think all of our kids should try some organized sports, but it's a big topic and there's a lot to say. So we're going to do a three-part series. Today, I've got John O'Sullivan with me. He is a best-selling author, a podcast host. He was a collegiate and professional soccer player. He is coached. He has so much experience and a ton of wisdom. And I have recently been reading his book called Changing the Game, The Parent's Guide to Raising Happy, High-Performing Athletes and Giving Youth Sports Back to Our Kids. I think that John's experience just is really helpful as we navigate these waters of youth sports. So I can't wait to share this with you. Now, next week, I'm going to bring an interview with my husband and I as we talk about the faith element of youth sports. I think you're going to really appreciate that. And then week three is an interview with my son, Luke, who is a professional surfer, and he is kind of sharing his journey from the beginning. Luke is super fun to talk to. This is a long one, but I think a lot of you and your kids will enjoy hearing Luke's story. We talk about the mental game. We talk about some of the challenging seasons he's been through. It's a really fun interview, great for a road trip or whenever you've got time to listen. Now, before we dive into today's interview, I just want to thank you again for leaving ratings and reviews for this podcast. They are such an encouragement to me, and they also help the algorithm. That means when you leave one, it tells your podcast app to put this podcast in front of more people. And that really blesses me. So thank you for taking a moment to tap on those 5 stars or leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. What I try to do is each month I read one. And if you hear me reading your review, email me and I'm going to send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. I think I forgot last month. But today I'm reading Raybug831, who titled her review My Favorite and gave the podcast 5 stars. And this is what she wrote. I love Monica's podcast. Her advice, wisdom, and insight on parenting is always so reassuring and helpful. I always feel encouraged and empowered to be a better boy mom after listening to her podcasts and reading her books. She is honest and always so, so positive, which I appreciate so much. Many blessings, Monica. Raybug831, thank you so much. And please do send me an email at aloha@monicaswanson.com and I'll send you a Starbucks card. And a final note for all of you homeschooling families or those of you who are thinking about becoming homeschoolers, I want to make sure you know about the diveintomath.com website where we have found all of my boys' favorite science and math classes. Now, Dr. Shorman, who teaches the Shorman Math and the Dive into Math science and math classes, is a good friend of ours, and he teaches every concept on the ACT, PSAT, and SAT using John Saxon's proven teaching methods, and he incorporates 21st century topics like computer math, technology applications, and current real-world word problems. There's a tongue twister for you. He uses a biblical and historical foundation and teaches the why of learning math, which makes such a difference. Now, important to note that the Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. So if your kids are even considering college, this is the curriculum for you. Go over to diveintomath.com, check out the science and math classes available. I think you're going to be impressed. And now, without further ado, let's jump into this conversation with John O'Sullivan, where we're going to talk about youth and specialization in sports, when to give our kids a nudge, when to pull back. There's a lot of good stuff in here, so hold on tight. Hope you enjoy. Hey, John, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, Monica. Thank you so much. I'm really excited for our conversation.
Yeah, my husband and I have been anticipating this. We've been reading your book. This topic that we get to cover, I know people listening have been really wanting me to talk more about youth sports. It's a topic that has come up on social media a lot. I've dabbled in it in some of my books, but I'm just going to put you on the spot and have you share so much from your experience and wisdom and research and all you've done. So I cannot wait to dive in. But first, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my organization is called Changing the Game Project. And that was kind of a passion project started back over, 12 years ago now, when my kids were really young. And I had been coaching for a long time before that. I coached youth high school. I was a Division I college assistant coach for a couple years. I was a soccer player, played in college, played professionally for a little bit. But just this love and passion of, with sports and what a great, how impactful it was for mm-hmm. me as well. Mm-hmm. And I saw sports changing so much as a coach and as mm-hmm. someone who was running sporting organizations, where it just seemed to be less about the kids and more about the adults. And so mm-hmm. that was sort of the impetus for my first book, Changing the Game. And then, as you know, as an author, it's actually not super hard to write a book. It's really hard to sell a book for how people know that you have a book. And so, and so I started a blog, and it was really the blog that took off and led to TED Talk. And mm-hmm. then everything kind of blew up from there. So, days I work kind of all over the world doing parent education, coach education, and leadership development in sports.
So cool. I love it. And you did a great job on the book, and I've read some of your articles online. So we'll link to some of those as well. But let's just stay camped out for just a moment longer on your background. Before we recorded, I told you that you and my husband have a lot in common. Yeah. You both have a soccer background. For those listening that don't know, my husband, Dave, played soccer in high school, went on to college soccer at Seattle Pacific University, and then played for a small professional soccer team when we were first married, until he ended up going to medical school. Mm. And he tried to hold on to soccer and keep playing when we moved to Hawaii, but the more kids we had, the tougher that got. Yeah. And so he still loves it if we'll go out and kick the ball around. But yeah, tell us maybe from... because we've been reflecting on our own childhoods mm. and what sports were like. I grew up in a sports family. I played team sports year round. I was a gymnast in my early years, but kind of let that go around middle school when I just decided to be a year round team sport athlete. So basketball, volleyball, cross country, track. I love competitive sports. Mm. My husband and I both do. Maybe take us from what you used to see or what you knew growing up to what you're seeing now and what's changed.
Yeah. I mean, if I, I always sort of term it the adultification of youth sports. So mm-hmm. kind of like you guys, mm-hmm. right? I grew up on Long Island. As a young kid, I played whatever was in season, right? So I played mm-hmm. soccer. I played basketball. I was a wrestler. I loved baseball. I played golf. I, fished. I just did whatever, mm-hmm. right? And you did whatever mm-hmm. with your friends. And each season, you and your group of friends would get thrown on different teams in your town mm-hmm. and play against each other. And you'd be so excited when they announced the teams. Oh, who's on my team? And whatever. And then, it was in high school. I went to a big Catholic high school, and the level was really high. I was like, oh, I got to mm-hmm. kind of maybe pick one here. And that's how I went down the soccer pathway. I think my graduating class of high school had 12 Division I soccer players, right? Wow. So it was really competitive.
Wow.
But, I just love sport, and I never, mm-hmm. you know, what I see now is just, you know, these adult values pushed to younger and younger kids. So we're running tryouts for 6 and 7 year olds. We're making them pick one sport year round. We're, you know, telling them they need to start thinking about college sports before they've ever stepped on a high school campus. And, you know, I'd never felt any of that pressure. It was always my path and what I wanted to do. So, you know, I think that's really the big difference. And these things that have changed about sport, the cost, the access, the commitments, they're not there because they're better for kids. They're better for the business of sport, right? And I mean, this business of youth sports is bigger than the NFL, right?
Wow.
It's huge. Really? It's $30 billion a year and growing exponentially.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So, so it's not about what's best for kids. Now, there's amazing programs out there. There's amazing coaches out there who really make it about the kids. But the system is not about what's best for kids at all. And so we try to just provide information to parents, right? Like you grew up as athletes, so you can kind of judge on your, you know, or rely on your experience to say, well, this doesn't feel right. But so many parents are scared and they don't know how to say no. And they just let their kids get dragged down these pathways that end up having them injured, burnt out, dropped out. And for some kids, you know, emotional and physical scars that last a lifetime.
Right. Yes. And you say that 70% of kids drop out of organized sports by age 13.
Yeah,
right?
That's the national statistic.
Okay. And that's because of all the things you just named. It's just
because of that. I mean, there's kids, right, who drop out because they get jobs and boyfriends and girlfriends and school gets harder and whatever.
Right.
There's a lot and I might find it.
Yeah. I've also pondered if the increase in technology and screens have also played into that, where a kid who used to get a rush out of being competitive on a field or on a court now finds that through a video game. And so it's a lot easier and less intimidating to sit in front of a screen, right? So I have to think that might play into this a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I think that evidence is really compelling these days. That especially since 2010, childhood has changed, right? Since the advent of smartphones and social media, we have higher rates of depression, suicide, anxiety, stress, especially amongst teenage girls, that can be directly attributed to smartphones and the advent of social media.
Right. Yeah. And yet you want to give a message of hope and encouragement. You say it doesn't have to be this way. And I guess there's that part of me, you know, maybe playing a little bit devil's advocate here is, well, if this is the way the system's moving, is it still possible to raise a kid with a healthy, balanced childhood who looks different, but is still doing all the things?
Yeah.
What do you say to
it? I mean, I think, yes, it is. And I think, first of all, right, like understanding as a parent what drives long-term mastery and participation in sport is sort of three components, right? Enjoyment is number one. So does your kid love doing this? Number two is ownership. So they have to own the experience. And then number three is intrinsic motivation, right? So when I enjoy it and I own it, I'm intrinsically motivated to go practice and get better. And certainly with your kids and surfing and sports like that, like you see that, right? You see this and, you know, I know your youngest is a golfer and it's like, you know, the desire to go out and practice, it can't be mom and dad dragging them to the golf course all the time. It's got to come within. And so, so what I really think parents have to be is like, you're the general contractor. You're the one who sees everything going on in your child's life. And then you make the sort of the call, but because it does, you know, this coach might be awesome and this private coach might be incredible and this opportunity might be there. But I think for the highest performing athletic kids, the best thing parents can often say is no. Great opportunity, but no. mm-hmm. need to shut it down for a moment here. He needs rest. Wow. We need to go to grandma's 80th birthday party, whatever. Mm-hmm. And be okay with that, right? So start at the end. What do I want out of sports mm-hmm. for my kids? And then is the experience delivering that? I think most people start there, but then they sign mm-hmm. up for experiences that don't deliver that at all.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. And I think this is like a lot of other things in life and in parenting where you might not know what's going on inside of a parent or what's going on behind closed doors at home. I think you might look at two people and say they're both doing the same thing, but there's a completely different message being communicated to the kids, or it's kind of an internal thing that parents need to own, right? Like, it's hard to see on the outside what's going on. I mean, and also it's all relative to some extent too, right? Like some people might look at our family and say, wow, you're really pushing, but you would ask my kid and he'd say, no, they're actually kind of holding me back.
Yeah.
But he golfs a lot. We give him a lot of opportunity. It's like, oh, it's such a tricky
it is. Topic. And I always say to people, like when I am doing a talk at a school or something, I'm like, raise your hand if you have more than one kid, you know, and a lot of people do, of course. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, are they the same? And everyone laughs, right? Because your own children that grew up with the same parents and ate the same mm-hmm. food and in the same house are completely different. So why you would think that the path of some kid on his team would be your child's path, it doesn't make any sense. Your child's path is their own path. And some kids are super driven and their sibling might not be, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so it's really about understanding your kid's goals and sport and their desires and then supporting those things. And if they are that driven kid who wants to go hit golf balls for 4 hours a day, do your best to support it. But, you know, if they only practice soccer during their 2 or 3 organized practices a week, they're probably not going to go play in college, which is great. Right. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not necessarily the best path for everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so good. And I love that you mentioned like just owning that, like whether it's grandma's 80th birthday or being balanced by doing other sports. I think it takes a lot of courage. And yet maybe we need to hear more stories of families who've raised great athletes who weren't completely buying into the system. Like I think so often we hear about, and my son, he didn't start golfing till he was 10.
Right.
And we felt like, oh, great, we're so far behind because these other kids were like, from the time they could walk, their parents gave them a golf club.
Right.
So we feel years behind, but we're like, you know what? Our story is our story. Your story is your story. So I think it takes that just confidence that God has a path for each of us individually, and we need to be okay with that. Even though my son Levi might say, Mom, everyone on the PGA would say, I was winning everything by the time I was 13. I'm like, no, couldn't be. There's got to be some guys that took a while.
There are. And I mean, you know, a great story is like Roger Federer in tennis, and everyone's like, tennis, you got to start as soon as you can walk. But Roger Federer's, you know, his story was he played lots of sports until he was about 13, right? And then, you know, they said his parents were, they weren't pushy, they were pulley. They sort of like, you know, they didn't push him into stuff, but when he said, I want to do this, well, then they kind of pulled him along and helped him do it. And it gave him longevity and a body that could put up with that sort of thing. And so the Tiger Woods path in sport, you know, being unbelievable at 3 years old on Johnny Carson is not typical. That's actually a far rarer path to excellence than sort of the multi-sport, find your niche, come to it later. And every sport is different. I mean, you said you're a gymnast. Gymnasts have to learn certain things by the time you're 10 or 11 or 12.
Oh, right?
All the twists and spins and whatever. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as, or anymore, right? An elite female gymnast who
starts at 15.
doesn't happen ever. Yeah. But there was just this Paris Olympics this summer. There's a player who just made the U.S. volleyball team who played in the NBA. He started volleyball and he's 26.
Okay.
Oh, but he just happens to be really tall with long arms and he can jump really high. So, you know, so
I mean, that's also
every
good.
Every sport's different, but following your child's, if you impose your, you know, goals on your child,
Yeah.
Or if you try to live vicariously through them, your unfulfilled sports dreams, they're far more likely to burn out, drop out, quit, and far more likely to damage your relationship with them because of sports.
Yes. Yes. And I've witnessed, you know, parents just coming down on their kids so hard at surf contests, at golfing range. And it just breaks my heart to see that. And yet, probably in subtle ways, a lot of us have fallen into some amount of that, projecting our hopes and dreams onto our kids. And
can I ask you just a question about surfing?
Yeah.
Because I'm a big skier, right? And I was in Jackson Hole this winter with my kids and went to see one of my former soccer players who lives there now and is a big mountain skier. And, you know, he's 17. Mm-hmm. He's very good. And we went to one of his competitions. And what I loved about it was how excited all the participants were when someone had a great run. They didn't care that they just lost. They loved the fact that someone just progressed their sport. And when I see this in skateboarding and I see this in skiing and snowboarding, is it like that in surfing, or is it more sort of zero-sum game, cutthroat?
Yeah. You know, I think there's some of each.
Yeah.
I think as we're recording, my son just flew in yesterday from Japan, where he was at a specific aerial contest. Stab High hosts this thing, and it's all about airs and it's invitation. And we were watching online, and it was super fun because there is this really playful kind of element to this particular competition, where when somebody does a cool air, all the guys are like going crazy, like having so much fun.
Yeah.
But certainly in the youth division, there was some nasty stuff going on and a lot of just that competitive, you know, and you see the parents all worked up. So I think there's a little bit of each depending on what the goal is of that particular contest.
Gotcha. But I mean,
I do love that.
Someone steals your wave or whatever.
Oh,
on you. Like
all kinds of stuff go on out on the water.
Someone's not doing that in a big mountain skiing competition or something like that, you know?
Exactly. There's some interesting things about that because they're out on the water. No parents can get to them.
Yeah.
No coach. They're on their own and whatever they've been taught. So it's interesting. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more, a couple questions. My husband and I have had some fun on social media, just doing some Q&As and sharing some of our thoughts as we are raising our kids with sports. Specialization, you touched on it, but I know you wrote an article and I'm going to link to that in the show notes. Do you just have kind of a general stance you can give on like, and in your book, you do a great job of outlining kind of age by age, what would be developmentally appropriate? Can you just talk about specialization though, in a general way here?
Yeah. And I think it's always important to say, right, in, you know, all generalizations end at the individual level, right? So everyone is different. But in general, right, for most sports, having a wide variety of movement childhood and then picking later is a far better path. You know, developing athletically, it prevents injury, it prevents burnout, all this sort of stuff. That's the ideal world. Right. And what we do know from the research is that kids who pick one sport prior to the age of 12, like twice the rate of overuse injuries, much higher burnout, much higher dropout, much higher injury rates, unless they're getting a multi-movement experience. Now, in the real world, it's hard as parents to go, especially, you know, I got a couple kids. How am I supposed to put them all in multiple sports? It's just crazy. Right. And so what I say to people now is like, listen, if your kid has a favorite sport that they want to do a lot of, that's great. But they still need this multi-movement experience to come from somewhere. Like, I think every kid should do, you know, tumbling for non-gymnasts, like learn to move your body and do that sort of stuff. But yoga, strength and conditioning, you know, getting with a good strength and conditioning coach, even, you know, in middle school ages, that's helping you develop all around athleticism. You know, all the yoga for your movement and stretching. Martial arts is fantastic. So it doesn't have to be multiple team sports or something like that. It's just something. And I mean, like, you know, my family, like we're big skiers and mountain bikers and things like that. Like those are sports. Those count. right?
Yes. You know, I love that.
Yeah. So
I think that's reasonable. I really appreciate that, because some people might take it to the extreme and be like, oh, they have to do all the sports, but you're saying just be balanced physically. Well,
and
then they become
multi-sport specialists and they're trying to go do three things and play piano, and the kids just get wiped out. I mean, when I see a 12-year-old with no smile on their face, it just breaks my heart, right? And it's because they're swimming in the morning and then going to soccer practice and then doing this and then trying to do homework. And it's like, just, you know, so it doesn't, you know, you as a parent have a right to say, listen, we're going to do one club sport for you because it's a lot it's asking us, but then we're going to get you involved in a second activity or a third activity. And like where you live, right? Paddling out and surfing, there's your sport. Doesn't have to be, you don't have to compete. You don't have to have a coach. Just go out and paddle around.
Right.
And congratulations. Right. You're doing something different.
Yes. Oh, that's super good. To all of my homeschooling friends and those of you who are becoming homeschoolers, I'm excited to tell you about the math and science curriculum that all of my boys have used and loved. Head over to diveintomath.com to check out Shorman Math and Dive Science curriculums. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he does such a great job of offering a biblical and historical foundation in all of his classes, teaching the why of learning math. He brings biblical concepts into everything, and my boys have been inspired by Dr. Shorman on so many levels. Now, the diveintomath.com website offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself. Also, important to note, Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Guys, this is what your kids need to prepare for all of these standardized tests. Okay, so my boys love that Dr. Shorman taught short lessons, and it was a four-day school week, and yet he packed in so much. They learned a ton, and it was efficient, so they could get on with doing all the other fun stuff they want to do. All right, so head over to diveintomath.com. Check out the math and science curriculums offered there. I think you're going to love them. Okay, so a couple more specific scenarios that come up a lot. And you probably already alluded to, I'm going to guess at your answer, but I'm going to let you take it anyway. The kid who you see, say they are 12, 13, and you realize they've got a gift. They are maybe even younger, anywhere from 9, 10 up. And they say they love it. They say they want to be professional or whatever, but you're also finding that they don't realize maybe what it takes. And so they're only wanting to train when their friends are training. And you're like, I think they could be great. You want to give them a nudge, but they're not necessarily motivated the way you think they should be. Hmm. Where do you land on that? What's your advice to parents?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, get an outside opinion if you really think your kid's good, right? Preferably from someone you're not paying extra money to tell you that they're good, right? like most people have no idea what elite is, right?
Right.
And depending on the sport, like, you know, if you think your kid's an elite basketball player and dad's 5'7" and mom's 5'2", your kid's not going to the NBA. Like,
reality check.
You know, like, so genetics is a huge part of it, whether you like it or not. And some sports are more democratic than others, but, you know, that's a big part of it. Number two, it's like, you know, so let's say your kid's good, right? And they are not driven. I think you have this conversation with them of, you know, I think you got something here, but, you know, I mean, most kids who are identified as, quote, and I hate the word elite because there's no such thing as an elite 10-year-old, right? It just doesn't exist, right? Okay. You know, most kids who are identified as, quote, talented when they're young are often either developmentally ahead, right? So they might be 10, but they have the body of a 13 or 14-year-old, right? or they're and a lot of times it's because they're born within 3 months of that arbitrary calendar cutoff date.
That's true too.
You know, mm-hmm. so they're just older. And this happens in schools as well. I mean, identifying talented and gifted kids in first grade is ridiculous because it's usually just the ones who are older. And it's the girls because their brains are wired mm-hmm. differently and boys right. are not. Right? Uh-huh. So it's all these things that go into it. So first of all, get a real opinion of what okay. it is. Go look at what elite truly is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like I would say to my own children, right? Because when they were young, you know, they would say, oh, I think I want to try to play soccer in college. And I would say, okay, well, someone who wants to play soccer in college right now is doing this, this, and this.
There we go.
You're mm-hmm. not doing this, this, and this, which is totally fine by me.
Sure.
But you have teammates who are. So either mm-hmm. you need to do that or it's okay if you don't want to play.
Yeah.
You can still have an amazing high school career and get a ton out of it and be surrounded by great coaches, but not, you know, not do this. And it was so funny because we'd have these conversations and for 2 days they'd be like, you're right. And they'd like go to the kickback wall in the neighborhood and practice on their own for an hour. And then 3 days later that would end and they'd rather go mm-hmm. hang out with their friends or go to the river mm-hmm. or whatever, which is great. But you really don't want this. You say you do, right. but your actions don't. Yes. So I think.
Okay. I think that's really good advice and reasonable, which is always the way I want to go. Like what makes sense? We want wisdom here. And I think my son would be a good example of that. I think when he was, you know, 8 to 10, he was actually skateboarding and he was doing these, we used to say he had like a built-in gyroscope because he would like do an air and just knew how to, nobody taught him. He just naturally did these turns and landed. And now, as I mentioned, he's 20 and he just was in an aerial contest surfing. So there were certain things that came natural, but he was a kid. He couldn't connect those dots. So we did have some of those conversations that were like, we see this, we know you say you want this, but if we're going to invest, if we're going to travel, if we're going to all do this, and I hate when you have to like bring finances into it, but it is a huge investment for families. Like if you want us to support you, we're going to need you to show us that this is what you want to do. And again, it's tricky to not put pressure on, but in a way they need to own up to it, right?
100%. And your kids are very aware of the financial stress that it can cause mm-hmm. a family. It might not even be stress, just the financial commitment, right? And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. if they love it and they're all in, they'll mm-hmm. understand the commitment and say, thank you for that commitment. I get it. But if it's not their goals and their dream and it's yours, and then they see the stress it's putting on, it actually, like, you see this at like 15, 16 a lot with kids. The mystery, you know, these injuries that are really undiagnosable, the bad back, the whatever mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm always like, you know, and they can't, nothing shows up on the x-ray or whatever, but they don't play. Wow. And I'm like, you really don't want to be here right now, do you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. And I could see that. Okay. One more scenario. Yeah. The kid who maybe isn't super naturally gifted, loves sports. But you're looking at him going, I don't want to invest in this thing when I can already tell, like you're hardly getting time, you know, playing time. And yet they want to be on some team that's going to cost you an arm and a leg, travel team, whatever. How do you handle that one when they're still in that maybe middle to early high school years, middle school to high school years?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, right, promoting love of sport and prior to puberty, you really just don't know,
right?
So, you know, the fact that, you know, like my daughter was a December birthday and loved soccer, and the calendar cutoff was January 1, right? So she was always the youngest and the smallest until she was 15, right? And then everyone said at 15, wow, she got so much better. I'm like, no, she just finally grew. Like, you know, like now that it evened out that everyone's grown now all the other stuff comes together. So I think, first of all, like as a parent, as a family, we have the right to say, you know, I mean, you live in Oahu, travel sports is another island, or it might be to the continent, right? So it's a huge commitment. And you can say, you know what, that's just not a sport that we can invest. I know that you love it, but that's not a thing that we can do. But there's all these other sports. Like I live in Bend, Oregon, right? If you want to be a high level soccer player, like a truly high level, you have to move, right? You want to be a ski racer, you do it right here. There's multiple Olympians.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. Like, well, what's in your windshield? What can you do here? Or hey, you're doing a sport that, you know, that's a big investment. And then, you know, I could see the kid who loves soccer, but just doesn't have enough fast twitch muscle fiber, you know, and it's like,
sure,
okay, I know you love it, but maybe, you know, this is the wrong team or the wrong level. You're not keeping it
right.
up. So either you're right. like, or if we're going to make this big investment, you're going to have to show us a big investment on your part as well. To catch up on this team, because we're not going to
send
you to Las Vegas to sit on the bench the whole time either.
Sure. No,
so,
that's good.
You know, I think it's hard. Like it's hard, but if you, as a parent, again, there's no obligation to give up your entire life for your kids. You shouldn't feel guilty about saying there's lots of stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Just not that.
Right. I think a good example of that is our second son, Jonah, had all the kids started in soccer when they were real young, probably pushed a little too hard because of dad's love for the sport, but they didn't love it. And then come high school age, one of my sons wanted to re-enter the world of soccer. And by then we were like, you know, you're 16, you don't pick it up right now and become great. I mean, maybe if there's some rare occasions, but we said, you know, AYSO, you can play for a recreational league. We'll support that. And he did, and it was fun, and it didn't really stick. And so I felt like that gave him the opportunity to still be competitive and play, but we weren't like, okay, we're all in, we're going to support you, because it just wasn't reasonable.
No. And again, you live in Hawaii, it's very different than if you lived in Southern California and there's an opportunity to sleep in your own bed after every game.
Right. Yes. That's such a good point. Okay. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I do love
that you talk about. This is fun. I'll keep going. This is
great. Okay, good. And I think a lot of people listening want to hear more. I appreciate so much that you talk about how the secret to raising happy, high-performing children begins with a positive state of mind. Now, as we record, I just did an interview with my son, Luke, my surfer, where I really, he has really been tapping into just mindset, sports psychology, reading some great books, actually hired somebody to work with him. He had a long spell between contests and was finding that he was really getting in his own head. So I've been excited to see him really overcome some mental obstacles. So I'm a big fan of this topic. And so Luke and I did an interview and I told him we'd go about 30 minutes and an hour and 45 minutes later, he wrapped up his story. So that's coming.
Yeah.
And I hope people enjoy it. But he's a great storyteller and fun to talk to. But talk to us about the mindset, especially when kids are young and maybe haven't fully grasped. I mean, it took years for Luke to get to the place where now it's really clicking. But talk to us about mindset.
Yeah, I mean, there's the mindset of, first of all, I think, you know, one of the we always, Jerry and I always say, you know, like fear is the cancer of the athletic soul, right? If you're scared, and that fear can come from fear of disappointing your parents, or you know, fear of being yelled at by your coach or your teammates, or you know, in your son's case, you know, fear of getting hurt or a big wave or whatever it is, right? There's lots of different, you know, things that fear comes from. And, you know, I've had like conversations on my podcast with, you know, professional skiers who are like, you know, if you're not scared to death, it's not making the film. Right. So you're always the best athletes in the world are dancing with stress, anxiety, pressure. Like you're the guy sinking the 3-foot putt to win the Masters. He's scared. He's afraid. Yeah. He's just developed the competency and the reps to deal with it. So at the highest level of sport, there's physical talent that starts to even out, and there's technical ability and IQ, which of course some people have more than others, but it's between your ears. That's really the difference maker. And so there's still this stigma, I think, of, you know, if you ever said to an athlete like, oh, you know, you should work extra with the strength and conditioning coach to get faster and stronger, no one would be like, I'm not doing that. Right. They look at that as a positive, but you say, oh, you should work with a sports psychologist or someone to help you with breathing and inner game and visualization. And they go, why? What do you think is wrong with me?
What's wrong with me? Yeah. Right?
So there's this stigma, and it's changing in professional sports, but it's not talked about at the level yet that, you know, going to the weight room is. Right. And so it's helping your kids, I think, overcome that stigma, and then really getting into, well, you know, if you are stressed, anxious, I mean, here's the thing. If you didn't care, you wouldn't feel stress. Right. But as soon as you care, as soon as you invest in something, as soon as it matters, as soon as there's uncertainty, then you're going to feel anxiety and pressure and stress.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's what you signed up for.
Yes.
I mean, those are the conditions that you signed up for. So, so work with someone on it if you feel like it's hurting your performance. And you know, in professional sport now, I think within the next 10 years, everyone will be out in the open about how they do this. And, you know, 20 years ago, if you were a professional athlete and you were seeing the psychologist, everyone was like, what's wrong with you? And now, today, at the highest levels, if you're not, they're like, what's wrong with you? Why are you letting your team down?
I so appreciate that. Yeah. I'm really glad I've seen it really make a difference for Luke. And I know for myself in all areas of life, like
I was going to say, it's not sports, like everything, it's all
our, and what a gift that God's given us. I say that we get to direct our thoughts and understand better what's going on mentally and the power behind that. Because I agree with you that the playing field does level out at a certain point physically. So if you can tap into that, and I think for younger kids, that we can begin to introduce those concepts, right? We can introduce just the concept of thinking about what you're thinking about, being aware of some of the negative thoughts. My son, who's golfing, he just turned 14, but I think it's starting to make sense to him as well. And that can be a big game changer for kids in all youth sports, right?
Yeah, yeah. This new book that Jerry and I are, it's at
the talk about that. Well, go ahead and tell us about it.
A year ago, we published one called The Champion Teammate, right? And that was really designed for kids. We have tons of high school and college teams using it. And that's really about like, how do I become a great teammate, right? So how do I connect? How do I compete? How do I lead? And there's a little bit about the inner game in there, you know, two chapters. But this new book we're working on, which is sort of the companion to that for parents, it's called The Champion Sports Parent. There's a whole section of the book on helping your kids with the inner game. Because we thought that was just a super important part that a lot of parents maybe are not familiar with themselves. But what are the things that you can do to create the environment that allows your kid to have a strong inner game? And then what are some of the tools that you could use in your own life, but then you can teach your kids as well?
So good. And tell us when that's going to be available.
Fall of 24, if all goes well.
Okay. Don't you love those deadlines?
Don't you love those deadlines? Yeah,
exactly. So cool. Well, we will link to, maybe it's even available for pre-order by now.
Not yet. Not even close.
Okay. Well, if people are following you, they will know when it's available. Yeah. And do you have a book specifically for coaches as well, or
I've got three out. So the first one was called Changing the Game. And this was the first one for parents, which you referred to a bunch. 2019, I did a book for coaches called Every Moment Matters. So it's about being really intentional, and you know, your influence is never neutral. And then and then we did The Champion Teammate in 2023. Really designed for athletes, how to be a great team member. And then we're sort of writing this parent book together, coming out here in late 24.
Late 24, maybe early 25, you know.
Probably late 24.
Well, that's awesome. And it's worth waiting for. And I love that you cover all the bases. You got the kid, the students or the athletes, the parents, the coaches. One thing I was hoping to touch on, but people can just get their hands on Changing the Game, the book that we've been reading. But you do share seven actionable principles of high performance. maybe just tell us what, like,
sure,
the overview of what those are before we wrap up.
Yeah, sure. So I called it the seven C's of a high performing state of mind, right? And let's see if I can remember all seven here, right? So it's
or you can give a teaser and just name a couple.
It a teaser, right? But it's like, you know, and they all work together, right? And,
yeah.
And so it's the right conditions, and it's, you know, caring and unconditional love and good communication and competence and confidence and control and ownership, and all these things sort of work together. And so each sort of chapter is, well, how do you give your kids control? Or like the communication chapter was fun because I wrote that with my friend who's a hostage negotiator. And I was like, well, you know, who could talk to a teenager better than a hostage negotiator? So, you know, so good tips for, you know, making the conversation happen. I mean, when you were saying before, you know, I interviewed my son, it was an hour and 45. I was thinking, how many parents are listening to this going, I wish I could get 5 minutes of my kid's time to talk to me. Right. So, it's all those things, and they all work together. And when you do that and you love your kids, no matter what, and you tell them I love watching you compete, and you, you know, create the right conditions on the ride home or in the household and stuff like that. That's when kids perform their best.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. And I'll be linking to your TED Talk, which I really enjoyed watching. But maybe as we close, you can share the five words that can make a huge difference in your kids' sports experience.
Yeah.
So tell us that, and then we'll close up.
Sure. Well, you know, when you do a TED Talk, they tell you, you know, what's your idea worth sharing? Right. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing that people are going to walk away from? And I remember it was like 2 weeks before the talk, and I had all this stuff, and, you know, I recorded like a PowerPoint, and I sent it to my mom, who she just recently passed away, and she was like my number one fan. She was the best. Mm. And she always had this fine way of telling you you're full of crap. And like, you know, and she said, she said, wow, John, it was a great talk, but I don't know what you're talking about. What am I supposed to take from this? Right.
Wow.
Like, man, I need an idea. And so it just kind of consolidated around this simple idea that I'd heard from others. And I mean, it's a biblical idea, you know, like just love watching your kids compete. You know, so I just, you know, start with, I love watching you play. That's it.
I love
just
watching
make
you
that
play.
Be what you say after. And then what do you want to eat? And don't coach. Let them have that time. And don't let your kids ever think that your love of them depends on sporting outcomes. And everything usually tends to work itself out after that.
Yeah, I love watching you play. That's been super helpful for me after my son's surf contest too. Just, you know, what better thing for a kid to hear than that their parents just enjoy them, enjoy watching them, enjoy being with them, just enjoy them. Kids need to know that. And I do love how you talk about that ride home.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need the like duct tape on our mouth because it's so hard not to.
So it's so hard, right? And you like, I mean, it's funny, like so I have two kids, right? And one's 18 and one's 17. And my daughter would get in the car after a game and she would always ask, how do you think I did?
Oh.
Right. And you know, I would always like try to have this very even keeled approach. And I would say, well, what do you think went well today, Maggie? And well, what do you think needs work? And what can you work on in practice this week? So best game, worst game, whatever, three questions, right?
There we go.
If I was, and my daughter was easy because she was the super hard competitive kid. Like I never doubted her effort. Right. And so, you know, but sometimes with my son, first of all, that question has never occurred to my son in the car. He's like, where's the food? Right. Like, right. Where's the food? And then we'll talk about it later. But there's been moments where I've been very disappointed in his level of competitiveness. And so even that night when he asked me or whatever, I'll say, you know, this is probably not a great time to talk about this right now. Give me a day. Give me 24 hours and we'll have a conversation. And let the emotions go and whatever. But I mean, kids know when they didn't do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they don't need to get beat on further. You're not going to teach them anything in that moment. You're just going to make them feel worse.
Yeah. And it's just our own lack of maturity and it just reflects on us. So
it makes us feel better and them feel worse.
Yeah. And, but eventually then we do feel bad as well, because we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. So I think sticking with, I love watching you play is really Amen. Safe and good. Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Besides all these books, which I'll link to in the show notes, tell people where they can follow you and keep up with all you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So the mothership is changingthegameproject.com. That's the main website. And the podcast, mm-hmm. Call Way of Champions, we've managed to put out, I think, 382 straight weeks of that. So that's got tons of coaches and famous athletes and stuff like that across a variety of sports. And then, you know, social media, I'm really not a fan. So there, it is out there at CTG Project HQ for Twitter and Instagram. Maybe I'll have my 18-year-old take it over for me and post more often.
Good idea.
The place I like to connect best is LinkedIn.
Okay.
I feel like there's reasonable people on there. Just look for Coach John O'Sullivan on LinkedIn and you'll find me changing the game.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. What an encouraging conversation, and can't wait to read your next book.
Thank you, Monica. Thanks for all the great work that you do as well. It's such an important message. So it's been an honor to be on.
Oh, thanks. I have a feeling people might want to have you back. So we'll stay in touch.
Amen.
All right. Take care. Hey, friends, I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. Thinking this might even be one to share with your kids after listening. Some of your kids are ready to hear some of the things we covered, I think. And you can find links in show notes, which will be found at monicaswanson.com/John-O'Sullivan. And that's O'Sullivan. All right, friends, thanks so much for being here. Please let your friends know about this topic that we're covering it this summer. We're here to support you and encourage you. If you have questions or follow-up questions along the lines of youth sports, you can always email those to me at aloha@monicaswanson.com, or you can also leave them in the comments over in show notes. All right, friends, I hope you continue to have a wonderful, safe, and healthy summer. Can't wait to share the next two episodes in this little series with you. So take care of yourself. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha. Mm-hmm.